This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
The Score Midday Show.
Make it sexy.
Why?
I love the Bears YouTube channel, as everyone knows. And they dropped a new video a couple days ago of 1920 Football Drive. It was the latest episode. It is entitled Building the Trenches. There is a conversation on it between Ryan Poles and Dennis Allen. And the phrase that Dennis Allen says is, where do we have him?
And this year, probably one or two.
They tried to erase it or reflect it in a way where you couldn't see that Stacy Dales on the TV image in the upper right corner was talking to Mason Graham. So I ask you, where do we have him talking about Mason Graham, and do we find out how the Bears feel about him?
You just blew my mind.
I hate to be that guy. They were at the combine in this video that we're talking about, and combine activities were going on down on the field. Therefore, interviews were also going on down and around the field. And that's when Stacy Dales just happened to be talking to Mason Graham, in my opinion.
It's so simple.
As one of the senators from the South Loop here, I would like to concede my time. Studs deserves some time on this.
As the senator from the Northwest side,
Northwest.
I like to think they're talking about Mason Graham, and I'm choosing to believe that in my head.
I will argue with this. As a woman, I have noticed that men talk about the things that are in front of them.
We're visual people.
I rest my case again.
That is actually fair. That's a fair
visual
argument.
Kaboom! You've been lawyered.
Why?
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, I seem to recall a former Bears head coach a long time ago talk about finding the whys.
Why?
Guess we found it. At least one of them.
David Haugh certainly found it.
David Houck did find
it. Oh, not Houck.
No, he did find it.
That was one day.
Hey,
that was...
No, he has many shining moments. We have to celebrate them.
Okay, that's fair.
We also broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is the Score Midday Show. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi. Our producing crew is as follows: Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, and Brandon Fryer. Our video team, if you log on to twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Duddleston, and Matt Anaya. And we are getting you ready for a Friday where at least it's pretty outside. At least it's like nice and sunny.
It wasn't that cold on the walk.
No, it was. You can feel that spring is starting to give way.
Don't do that. Because as soon as you say that, snow.
Technically, we're in spring.
I understand that, but spring, it ain't sprung. Okay.
We need to find the whys on spring.
The why is we live in the middle of the country and we live off of a lake and there's winds and such.
You're right about all of that.
Yeah.
Like, that can't be argued.
Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled just because this weekend it's going to be sunny outside and feel better than it has felt that it's all over.
We had a really sunny winter, actually. It did a lot for me emotionally and mentally.
It still got dark way too early.
It did, but I'm not one of those seasonal depression people, but I just like sun. So for me, I was like, oh, I know we didn't get a lot of sun or snow this winter, and that's ultimately probably a bad thing, but I like the sunshine part. Like, I'll take that. You always hear about Denver, you know how they're like, oh, you get all this, you know, what is it, 300 days of sunshine a year, but it still snows. And that's kind of how I felt this past winter.
Okay, well,
I felt like there was a lot of sunshine, even though, you know, there shouldn't be.
There was sunshine for Cubs fans yesterday because they didn't take an L. They got a day of rest to mentally process the loss, at least temporarily, of one Justin Steele and a poor outing from Shota Imanaga. Now the question is, can you re-rack, so to speak? Can you get it together? Because now it's West Coast time.
You re-rack the weights?
Yes.
Put them back in the right spots?
I hope so.
You know, get everything set for your set. This is, I think, the most pivotal week when you consider their April schedule. They, as we've talked about, only dropped 1 of 3 to the Rangers, 1 of 3 in the series before against the Padres. You have the Dodgers and Padres coming up. We knew that this April was going to be difficult, and we're not quite to April 15th yet. Friendly reminder, that is on Tuesday for anybody who needs to know. But as we do the progress check of the Cubs at this point, at the 15-game mark for them, I think you have to ask the question, are they a little better than maybe we had thought before? Even though we knew we had high expectations for this team, just based on what you've seen. Last game made it feel a lot like what we had seen previously. But the overall sample would indicate this is a different team that gives you more hope. And I like their chances of showing out better in LA than I did even a week and a half ago.
Couple things to take into consideration. Coming off a homestand in which they face the Padres and the Rangers. The Padres are a first place team. They are 10-3. Two of those losses came to the Cubs. The Rangers are a first place team. They are 9-4. Half of their losses came to the Chicago Cubs. Now you get to face a Dodgers team who got off to a hot start, but then lost 4 in a row and finally snapped that 4-game winning streak their last time out. So you have a chance here to keep things going and saying, hey, we haven't lost a series since we broke camp for spring training. They lost way back before spring training was even over, before the exhibition schedule was over, when they had to go to Japan, of course, got swept in a short 2-game set against the Dodgers. Now you play 3 against the Dodgers, 3 against those same Padres. This is as good of a measuring stick as the Cubs will have, you could argue, since the opening 2 games of the season, which were played under not ideal conditions.
That's it. I mean, yes, you dropped the 2-game set against the Dodgers in Tokyo. But this 3-game series, which is actually in LA, will give you a better indication. And the schedule mirrors what we've seen again so far. You're at LA for 3, you're at San Diego for 3, as we mentioned, and then you're home against the Diamondbacks before you then play host to the Dodgers again. Enjoy the NL West, guys. Usually you get a good road trip, you know, the travel is fun, having worked in the NL West. But when you're just the one observing it on TV, perhaps it's not as enjoyable. And then, you know, the Phillies, who we just saw have an excellent outing against the Dodgers, that's who you see to get out of the division.
Another first-place team, yeah.
In 2 weeks from today. So if you get through, this is really the beginning of Hell Week, and Hell Week lasts two weeks and 2 days.
Yes.
Isn't that always how it is? They say Hell Week, but it's really like Hell Month, and the next thing you know, you're exhausted.
Here's why a series win over the Dodgers would be their most impressive series win of the season. One, it's the Dodgers. Two, when you look at the pitching matchups, Saturday night, Ben Brown, Sasaki.
Rogie Sasaki,
That seems like a bad matchup for the Cubs based on the body of work of those two pitchers. And then you don't even know who's pitching Sunday against Tyler Glasnow.
Yeah, yes, that's a TBD. And you know exactly what Glasnow brings to the plate. So brings to the mound. I do think, though, that for them, that's the injury concern, you know, trying to figure out who they need to rest and how that lines up. We heard the media ask Craig Counsell before the game on Wednesday how that was going to go, you know, right now. How many starts would Justin Steele miss if he's on the 15-day IL with that elbow tendonitis? We'll get a little more information, I assume, before the game tonight. What time do they start that one tonight?
Yeah,
9:10.
Yeah, 9:10.
It doesn't look right. Like, I read it and I'm like, nah, not 9 o'clock. Yes, 9 o'clock. So if you have some late night activities, you know, Cubs Dodgers on your TV might help with that.
And fortunately for us, the Saturday starts 8:10, which is a little earlier, and then it's Sunday Night Baseball on Sunday on ESPN, which is interesting because now this becomes kind of a showcase. Let's say the Cubs win the first two or lose the first two or split the first two.
Yep.
Either way, they can make a statement on national TV in front of a national audience. And they haven't been on national TV since that season opening series against the Dodgers out in Japan.
Well, and a couple programming notes. Yes, the Cubs and Dodgers start tonight's coverage on The Score at 8:35. And because of that, Bulls and Wizards are a 6:45 coverage start on WBBM. So you get pregame with Chuck Swirsky, Alyssa Bergamini, Bill Wennington on BBM tonight because of the double game day for us. So that's where you can find everybody this evening.
And they really need to win this series because you don't want to lose 2 or 3 or get swept by the Dodgers and then turn around and say, okay, let's head to San Diego. You know that guy we missed the first time we played the Padres? Oh, he's leading off this series in Dylan Cease. That you don't want that kind of momentum. You want the offense, first of all, to keep clicking, to keep getting on base, to keep creating opportunities, to use your aggressive base running nature and take advantage of situations. You don't want a situation where this road trip, let's face it, it could spiral out of control quickly.
At least you like what you've seen out of Matt Boyd so far. Like he's undoubtedly been a bright spot. You know, I've appreciated what he's brought to the table. His interview with the afternoon show, if you missed it, was a lot of fun as well. Like, that was super enjoyable. But Matt Boyd started to really come on, I think, in a positive way. You saw his velocity tick up in spring training. That continued to be consistent once you saw him pitch during the regular season. Already, I think his body of work has been really enjoyable with this Cubs team. So if there was somebody to take the ball, given that there are some questions about starting pitching right now, given Justin Steele, given what we saw out of Shota against the Rangers, I know weather may have been a factor there. So I'm very positive about just seeing Matt Boyd again on the mound and knowing that he is doing what he's supposed to be doing and then some. Really, you could say it in the words of Jed Hoyer, outperforming expectations a little bit right now. Already has 10 strikeouts to his name, a 118 whip, which I pay attention to. So
stay tuned for my discussion on relievers if that's what you pay attention to.
When you said relievers, what do you think the first stat I looked up was?
Whip.
I'm like, oh, let's just check in on everybody's whip in the bullpen. Terrifying.
So Matthew Boyd's been outstanding through two starts, has not given up a run. You mentioned the 10 strikeouts in 11 innings. The issue is that margin for error is so small when you're talking about the Dodgers because he's going up against Yamamoto.
Yamamoto probably is very happy about seeing the Cubs again based on what happened last time.
He's got a 1.69 ERA, Yamamoto does. Over 16 innings in which he struck out 19 batters and only given up 3 earned runs. So they have to make their opportunities count, is what I'm saying, the Cubs in this series. You get guys in scoring position, make something happen. You get a guy on base, go first to third, which they're doing better than any team in the league right now.
Well, and they're stealing better than anybody in the league right
now. Yeah, when we talk about the base running, we've talked about the fact that they've only been caught stealing one time, which is one off the best mark in the league. I think it's the Cardinals or the Red Sox. One of those. It's a team in red that's got 15 for 15 this season.
Yeah,
they're the only team that hasn't been caught stealing. And the Cubs have only been caught stealing one time. But also, they go first to third better than any team in the league. They go second to home better than any team in the league.
Yeah, they run. The run game is going to be key in this matchup. And I'm not talking about Bears or even Bears 2. I'm just talking about the run game when it comes to the Dodgers. And really, that's something, not to get all inside baseball here, but that's Bears. Something you have to do when it comes to playing on the West Coast. I know the Padres moved the fences in a little bit, but these are night games. There's a thing called May gray and June gloom in California. The marine layer will drag things down. They will drag down a ball that's well hit. It's gonna cause a lot of sink. So if you get on base, you really have to do something because your extra base hits might not go for extra bases there as easily, especially this time of the year.
Yeah, I really want to see a better effort out of this team than what we saw in games one and two. Because again, to me, and maybe people don't agree with this stance, but this is a measuring stick series and a measuring stick week. You are in first place. Mind you, you only have a game lead on the Brewers. This is right where we thought it was going to be. But you are on pace to win 97 games this season right now, with a 9-6 start. If you can stay on that pace, you should be fine.
After 15 games, we're ready.
Look,
we're
why?
Ready to just do the on-pace stat.
But that's how this projects out. If you can be on a pace to win 97 games after the 15 games they've played against this caliber of opponents, I think that's as good as it gets.
I still think for Boyd, you know, the name of the game is probably, you know, fastball control today. But after you've seen his slider and his changeup really help his game in the way they have, I at least today, you have, knowing what you know about the Cubs pitching, and we just saw Shota, unfortunately it doesn't line up well enough where he sees the Dodgers again. That would have been fun to see him pitch at Dodger Stadium. I think in this case, I'm still optimistic based on him being on the mound. But it is going to take every bit of Kyle Tucker's bat. It's going to take every bit of Seiya Suzuki knowing he's got protection and still be aggressive and still swing at those first pitches of your at-bats. It's okay if it lines out. And in the true mentality of shooter shoot, I'd rather be the team that tries to steal 26 times and has missed one bag than be the team that's only tried 15 times. That's going to only help you in this stretch. The other part of it is that, what was that for?
You made a good point.
Oh, I'm like, what?
He's just giving credit where credit's due.
I didn't know if I said a secret word and like there was some sort of dinger there that pleasantly threw me off.
Think around the horn with these noises.
Oh, around the horn, yeah. And that show's going away in a month. Maybe we have to adopt some of their stuff since they're going away. But I do also want to point this out. Your goal, Marshall, for this stretch was 14-17.
I was like, if you can stay there or above, you're good. If you're 13-18 sounds real dicey.
Sure. And I feel like in this case, you know, when you're talking about 14-17 and they're already 9-6, then that mark is going to be a little bit easier to achieve with some leeway over your next three series.
So by my count, they can go 5-11 during the stretch. And now we'll feel differently about it because of the way they started. If they go 5-11 to reach the 14-17.
And we'll talk differently about it, too.
Because that's just what we do.
Because we talk about what we see. So that's happening. But either way, this is the bear of the bear, if you will. This next hell week that lasts 2 weeks and 2 days, this is your real meat of the schedule where you're going to find out some things about yourself and you will be happy to get to the Pirate Series, hopefully, and then May happens.
What people may look back on and remember as to why they were so distraught over those first two games of the season. You'll remember there was no Mookie Betts and there was no Freddie Freeman. And at the time, Mookie Betts was going through an illness and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him.
And he had lost a lot of weight.
I think he's okay now. Mookie Betts, 310 batting average, 396 OPS. Oh, and he's slugging 548, by the way. So that's a 943 OPS for Mookie Betts. Now, Freddie Freeman has been hurt.
Just 943 is all?
Yeah, just 943.
Do you think any of that helps when you face the Nationals, though?
Well, yeah, but they lost 2-3 to the Nationals.
But still,
Nationals are playing better baseball than people thought they would.
Higher scoring games, though.
Absolutely. And Freddie Freeman, he's actually been out with an ankle injury. Problem is, Freddie Freeman expected to be activated ahead of the Cubs-Dodgers series.
That's what I was wondering about, because he got placed on the IL, and I was curious about that timing. So
he's only played three games this season, but in those three games, he has a double and two home runs. He is actually OPSing over 1,000 in his limited action.
Oh, that's nice. You know, that seems convenient.
The Dodgers are good, and this is how you prove that you're, even if you're not as good as the Dodgers, maybe you can just find a way to win 2 out of 3 in LA.
2 out of 3.
What's my whole philosophy on road? Finish what on the road? 500.
500, yeah.
So just find a way to win 3 of these next 6 games. And if you could take 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers, you're 1 win away from having a winning, or excuse me, a 500 road trip.
Hell yeah.
Now don't be sad, 'cause 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Okay, I have a confession. That song doesn't make any sense to me because I never bothered to look up what it was referring to.
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
But unless it's talking about a series in baseball, I haven't really computed it. And I don't think it's talking about a series in baseball. I'm just going to throw that out there. We'll look it up during the break, I suppose. It's also a pivotal time for the White Sox. Garrett Crochet comes back as a member of the Red Sox now to this team, and he got his money. So now that the chapter on his book here is closed, how does he feel about facing his former team, and what's his opinion? We'll take a look at that, the series as well, and a few other nuggets that we should stand to bring up. A call-up happened as well. That's next on The Score.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of 5-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
White Sox invent ways to lose games.
Oh, man.
the trip to Chicago could be coming at the perfect time.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Yeah, the White Sox got trolled by the Red Sox announce crew pretty badly. I understand that that's going to happen, but there's something about when other teams' announcers say it out loud like that where you're just, what can you say? That's not ideal. That was the Toronto and Boston game, and that was Dave O'Brien and Will Middlebrooks, who, former Red Sox, probably knows a thing or two about facing teams at decent times.
I just know that right now the White Sox are in a dark, dark place. And to see any type of light, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard because you knew what the season was when it started. You knew what last season was because it happened. And you know that the future is down in AA somewhere for the most part. And that's going to take time for AA to become Major League.
Don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened. But don't be happy about this part of it happening.
I don't subscribe to that whole theory about don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened. Or is that what you just said? I just know it's bad, Layla. And sometimes when you know something is so bad that it becomes almost indescribable, because you're like, no matter what words I use to describe it, it won't strike home the point. That's where the White Sox are right now.
Go White Sox!
I don't know. I think last year was still worse.
Oh,
last
yeah.
year was still worse, especially, I'm sorry, managerially. Like, Pedro Grifol just calling the team blanking flat at times, and then you're trying to see how many losses in a row they can avoid, and they had multiple huge losing streaks. Obviously, there was the one where we were concerned they were going to get the record. The A's had a hand in that, too. You know, I remember them playing 22 by Taylor Swift before that game started. Perhaps it was Taylor Swift who helped get things on the better track there, or break the streak, or whatever you want to call it. But the point is, it just felt more hopeless last year. At least they did something about someone who has an effect on whether or not you're winning or losing games. Not as much as a guy who can lose you a lot of games, which I think the decisions happen there.
I completely disagree. You say it felt more hopeless last year, but here's what I could tell you.
No,
I watched Sox games last year, and what I watched was two out of every 5 days, Eric Fetty and Garrett Crochet would take the mound, and I'd feel good about the way they were pitching.
Now, as to what they got in return, that's an interesting story, especially the return from St. Louis. Let's talk about it. Okay, we're done.
I can tell you what Garrett Crochet got. I can tell you what he got.
Yeah, they did get Chase Meidroth in the return, and they are calling him up, which I think is important.
8-for-30 so far this season. He's looking good at the plate. He's been... it's not even that he looks good at the plate. It's that he looks better than what you have on your major league roster and how they've been performing. And you need to inject some type of life, especially given all the people who are hurt right now.
Well, given what happened to Garrett Crochet and given what we knew about Anaya at short, I thought there was a good chance that Chase Meidroth was going to actually break camp on the big league roster.
Didn't happen.
Okay, so it's April what here? 11th?
Yes.
All right, so you brought him back on April 11th. I'm good with that. Like, bring him up. The scarier part is also what we've seen out of Colson Montgomery in AAA. That whole thing is upsetting.
3-for-37 is not an ideal start to the season. He doesn't look like he's coming up anytime soon.
2 out of 3 ain't bad, and I've learned the lyrics to that song since I've last talked to you guys. But 3 out of 37 is bad.
2 out of 3 is not bad because that's a .667 batting average, winning percentage, however you want to put it.
That is a very player-centric song, by the way.
Is it player-centric?
Like, it's just 70s soft rock, like Time Life infomercial style. But let's just be honest. The message is the same.
I'll read the hook so that people can understand exactly what it on. This is...
The hook is what I needed. I just knew about the... People would always reference it in headlines. That's where I would always see it. So that was my relationship with that song.
So this is Meatloaf in 1977.
I didn't even know it was Meatloaf.
2 out of 3 ain't bad, and all I can do is keep on telling you, I want you, I need you, there ain't no way I'm ever gonna love you. Now don't be sad, because 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah, I appreciate the 70s. I think it was a pretty glamorous era.
Was it glamorous?
Yes, and I'm really starting to more appreciate the... yeah, the clothing was very glamorous, in my opinion.
People were definitely healthier like in the 70s.
The high fashion of the 70s was... Dick Allen is really cool. Like, there's a lot to appreciate about the 70s, just the style of it all. But the soft rock player songs are interesting. Like, that's a contrast.
I go back and forth on the 70s because I realized everybody was skinnier in the 70s. But I was like, isn't that just because everyone smoked? Is that what it comes down to?
It might just come down to that. Like the health part of it, you know, maybe I don't know about that part. But the aesthetic is interesting.
The aesthetic is definitely different. It has a more classic look, if you will.
Yeah, there's a lot. But even the trendy clothes in the 70s were cool.
Yeah, and you know, guys are rocking afros. And
yes,
it had a little more style to it. It would seem more, yes, a little more uniqueness. But I'll tell you this:
break out the little striped polo shirt.
There's nothing.
Shirt, call it a day.
The fact that the White Sox are playing the Red Sox this weekend, there's nothing unique about this for White Sox fans because it's not only are we still in the same. They're still, the White Sox as an organization seem like, to me anyway, they're still on the same treadmill of mediocrity at best. And when you see Garrett Crochet storm into town, fresh off of his, what, 6-year, $170 million extension, knowing that the White Sox aren't giving out those kinds of contracts. So even if you were to have a player, let's say these guys in Double A right now, you're never going to be able to...
Think about all the former Red Sox, or White Sox rather, in the last few years, who are opening day starters for their teams, or they are key pieces. Chris Sale wins the Cy Young. And that trade to me with the Red Sox actually did net what looked like to be the future of the team, and was, regardless, at the time. Carlos Rodon was the Yankees opening day starter because Garrett Cole had the Tommy John issue. But, you know, Garrett Crochet is now a corner piece for a Red Sox team who has decided to send a message to its fans that they want to spend.
Is Dylan Cease pretty good?
Dylan Cease is at least considered one of the most attractive pitching candidates to either help another team or stay with the Padres. Like, think about those four by themselves. And the interesting thing is, we're talking about the future of the team. Like, if you're not going to pay those guys, which they didn't, you at least want them to bring you something in return that is going to help your future. We at least had that with the Chris Sale deal. You know, Carlos Rodon, that was a different situation because he stayed an extra year. He that was not a trade situation. Garrett Crochet, we can at least talk about Chase Meidroth. But what was looming at the time with Crochet as well was his discussion about a potential extension. And we didn't know if the Red Sox were going to pay him. He talked to the Baseball is Boring podcast, now that he's got his monies, about what it's like to face a team that he used to play for. And that's pretty much how he sees it.
I'm not really thinking of it too much like that. It's I was there for a while, but at the same time, not that long because I had so much injuries over the years. There's been a lot of turnover while I was there and in the 6 months I've been gone, so it's you know, it is what it is. Yeah.
This is a weird question, but does it seem like a long time ago? You know, like, I know it's only been, you've only been
right,
3 months,
right,
but still, there's a lot has happened in the last few months.
Yeah, it does. And like, I do have great memories there, but I also like am totally indifferent. I'm just very indifferent about the situation, to be honest. Like, and it's nothing against them or anything like that. It's kind of just, I don't know, because typically I am like a, you know, an emotional guy. Like, I pitch with emotion. It's like I have a lot of gratitude for them, but I really have no emotion about the situation.
Well, the reality is that now you're going to have 8 years here,
but, yeah,
you know, it's pretty much locked in,
right?
And like you said, it was sort of like you were there, but it was like it was you know, roller coaster,
right?
Different roles, different places,
right? Right,
yeah. So
it feels essentially like, just because last year was like my first year starting, like 2020 through 2023 feel like a really long time ago. Like, I feel like last year kind of felt like it was my first year there, because it was my first, you know, season since 21, my first full season. Mm. Yeah.
You know what? He sounds a lot like White Sox fans who also watch these games with an indifferent feeling. They're playing baseball.
I think with him, it's the frustration is you see what he was going to do. He had a meteoric rise last season. When you consider that opening day, he had such little experience when it came to actually starting. And then not only does he do that, he carries the team. You're right. He and Eric Fetty had outstanding performances as long as they were there. You know, I like that Eric Fetty pick up from the very beginning. Fetty, I wouldn't put in the category of outstanding, but he did have a lot of really good performances.
Oh, he was good.
Garrett Crochet was lights out. He's only allowed, I think, one earned run this month. It's something ridiculous. So you know who he is. You know how good he is, Garrett Crochet. You know that he is a lot of people's pick for AL Cy Young this year. He's somebody you build your team around. I'd argue somebody you build your team around even when you think that that team is not online yet. I understand wanting to get somebody in return for him. At least they did that. You know, it wasn't similar to the multi-team trade where Michael Kopech goes to LA as well. But for him to just consider it like a stop on a way to something else, when will the White Sox not have a guy like that?
When they decide to pay people what they're worth as free in their free agent years, that's when.
And when Andrew Benintendi's contract is still the richest free agent contract.
I do think they paid Andrew Benintendi what he's worth. So let me rephrase that. When they decide to pay a star what they are worth, when they're not past their prime.
With all due respect to Andrew Benintendi, you could argue that that was not his market value at the time. The Sox really valued him because he was the number one overall prospect in 2017.
Again, someone who still has a lot of tread left on their tires in terms of a chance of stardom. Not superstardom. I'm not even saying just, you know, if they paid a guy like the Cubs paid Seiya Suzuki, that type of deal, and get that type of production out of someone, that's what the White Sox need. To be legit, they're in a position now where they're going to try to pay people through their arbitration years plus whatever with the option. Kind of like the Luis Robert Jr. contract, right?
Well, Luis Robert, you hope that you can get somebody you can call up if he gets traded.
Well, I hope that he plays well enough to get traded. Let's get to that point first before we worry about that.
Now, I know that not having enough protection in a lineup is an issue. That is something that will negatively affect somebody. But that's just what makes this, I think, seem so stagnant. You know, like, at least the Sox call it Meidroth. Like, keep him up here. Let him learn here. Roster-wise, what is it really costing you? A very low risk to a seemingly potentially high reward.
They need help. So just go try to find some help.
Yeah, and I forgot Lucas Giolito on that list, too, by the way. Like, think about the pitchers who have walked through these halls, so to speak, over the last 6 years.
Crochet stings because he's the latest, and you've got to see him this weekend, and it's not going to be pretty. But I'll talk about why things are going to get even uglier. That's coming up later. Around, well, say, what?
1225?
1225.
Lance Lynn had some really pointed things to say about the White Sox organization. Take his history with the team as what you will, but he was considered the cornerstone to a big deal trade at the time, too, so he might know a thing or two. He was on the Foul Territory podcast. You won't want to miss that. That is at 1225. Coming up next, we take a look at Caleb Williams' comments to Esquire magazine. It's good to hear him in a different form, so that is coming up next here on The Score.
Everything's looking where it is in terms of good.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
This is The Score Midday Show. It is Marshall Harris and Layla Rahimi joining you on this Friday.
Yep, yep.
Caleb Williams, and the reason we bring up the former head coach of the Bears is because Caleb Williams talked to Esquire magazine in a longer sit-down interview that we can tell. And Esquire doesn't give you the entire article right away, right? They let their print subscribers get it first.
Yeah. Sounds bougie, though, but just by the description. Of the interview and the cover photo and all that, it sounds very, very bougie.
Yes. And Caleb Williams is a fashion plate, so I feel like Esquire magazine is a good place for him. But in this, there is a an excerpt that we found. Williams did an interview with Esquire in February in Copenhagen, where his girlfriend is from. She's Danish, so that's why they were spending time in Denmark, at least according to the article. Sounds like a great place to get away after football season.
Sounds peaceful and calming.
And interesting. So Caleb Williams jet setting, which he is very much allowed to do, but he did talk about the Hail Mary, which I lovingly refer to now as just the Fail Mary. Famously, in this article, it says, the Hail Mary was caught by Noah Brown, the receiver Tyrique Stevenson was supposed to be guarding. The quarterback began the play with his back turned to the snap because he was too busy waving at fans and later jumped for the pass instead of staying on the ground, as we know. It's always interesting to see how they describe it to maybe not your typical sports fan audience. Eberflus said after the game that the Commanders' sideline completions didn't matter, even though an incompletion on the penultimate pass would have made it impossible for Daniels to throw into the end zone. Caleb Williams said how Eberflus handled it at the time for that game was, I think, one of the things that throughout the locker room people talked about and were annoyed by.
Yeah, that tracks.
This is for the Mavericks of Sports edition of the magazine. And according to the magazine article, he is going to wear a pink and maroon rugby shirt and a plaid overcoat. So I'm interested to see how that goes.
I'm trying to picture like the rugby that's pink and maroon and then the overcoat that's plaid.
Love it.
I can see it, but I want to see it.
But then you take my son?
No, I still think it's not going to be Steinermouth if you make it make sense, which he typically does. But the article goes on to say, in the Maverick of Sport edition, that Caleb Williams told Esquire he was so beat up mentally, physically, and spiritually by the late season losses. The quote is, "When I got home, I got in my bed. I just dropped a few tears. I think those losses were pretty important for me and my growth. To go on a losing streak, to be in this position, and to be at the helm of it was definitely important for me. Just being able to see how I need to be when times are bad. I'm going to work my tail off to never be in that situation again." The last line, as for Williams' new head coach, he said that the plan for his pairing with Ben Johnson is, quote, to go win big.
I don't know what to take that, like, my rookie season drove me to tears, Matt Eberflus drove me to tears, or just the disappointment I had in myself drove me to tears. But he was driven to tears. I think that's my takeaway from this.
So beat up mentally, physically, and spiritually by the late season losses. That's how you lose a team. They also mentioned the loss to Detroit. And they do say in this, it's not a quote, but it says, the locker room was annoyed then too, with quarterback Jalen Johnson barking at the coaching staff after Eberflus refused to take a timeout as the clock expired. That is not the only report we've had of that, of course, but to hear the affirmation as to what we all thought when we saw him lying on the bench, you know, in one of those late games, it's... You hate that for somebody, and you see why one loss turned into 10 in a row.
The other quote I like from this, which I guess what else would you expect him to say, but I mean, I'll say it anyway, quote, "I'm going to work my tail off to never be in that situation again," end quote.
Right.
I think this sting is going to stay with him, not just in the off season, but for his career. That's his first, that's his introduction to the NFL, is being a guy who was able to his credit, play all 17 games, but dang, a 10-game losing streak? An offense that watched him get sacked more times than anybody else in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure of playing in a big market like Chicago while doing all of those things as the number one overall pick, a guy who told everyone who would listen since he was 13 years old, his goal was to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. Achieved that, and then he thought he was going to be able to lead Chicago to the promised land. All that is still on the table, but the initial, the Troy Aikman-like, Peyton Manning-like rookie season. Whatever you want to lay blame to as to why and how it played out, that's going to stay with him.
It just goes to show you, when we were talking about the fragility of an NFL season, or say, how much was this season worth to the Bears to help their rookie quarterback develop better habits, to at least understand, you know, losing doesn't always have to sit with you like this. It doesn't have to continue to unfortunately cause detriment and cause negative effects in other games over and over again. You know, when you're doing everything you can, and we saw on the field in those fourth quarters what he was trying to do. I can't imagine what that must have been like for him after the game, where he was always so poised and then goes home and feels that way. I know he's not the only one by any means, but for him to have this admission is a different side of him.
They call him a good time, too. February, right? You think the season's over. The NFL season, I'm saying. He's finally like in a place. And he's like, yeah, I'll do the interview. And they talk and sit down. And I'm interested to see what the entire interview looks like with Esquire. He didn't do it in Chicago. He was probably in a better place mentally and physically when he conducted this interview. So maybe he let his guard down a little bit. But let's be very clear. The pressure is still on because you're still the franchise quarterback, the number one player taken. Everything is expected of you. And now you have a head coach who has worked with others and you've seen how good those offensives can be. You are the guy who's supposed to be able to fill the shoes of a Ben Johnson-led offense. Let's find out. The pressure is still on Caleb Williams, and that's how he will be measured.
Agreed. And we're not excusing him or any of the rest of the team from their piece of it, but clearly it affected him more than we understood, or at least more than he showed us.
The culture is awesome.
Nothing he said in this this little kind of...
This is just
snapshot of the article is surprising me at all, though.
Well, the only time when you really saw, because you could tell after games how he felt, and he would talk, of course, during the week, during practice. But outside of, say, the shot I'm thinking of where he's lying down on the bench, and that would have been any of us in that moment, I feel like this is just a deeper side of what you're seeing. And the question now becomes, how much of it is going to affect you negatively and how much of this is going to affect you positively?
And more importantly, you have a fresh start. So let's focus on the start, not looking back in the rearview mirror.
This is another knock on the scoreboard of culture. Culture is now down to, I'd say, negative 45 points or so.
From last year, you mean?
Like culture, yeah, versus winning. I'd say it's like negative 45 is where culture is at right now.
If you're winning, you're going to have a good culture. As soon as you start losing, the culture erodes magically, like the Denver Nuggets, per se.
Oof. Man, now people are trying to figure out if Jokic is coming here. This is escalated quickly.
It always does.
No, I thought about it, too. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I did.
Let me know when you figure out the trade package and what that looks like and who's left to play with
Jokic. Is it the Luka Doncic trade package, or is it like the is it the Rudy Gobert trade package?
Who's
like
Anthony Davis in that situation?
Just get Anthony Davis. The Mavs don't need him.
They're going to the playoffs.
We're out of control. We have more to come here on the Score Midday Show. Marshall Harris, 15 games in, has decided to do a Cubs bullpen ranking 1 through 9.
Yeah, it's the trust. Who do I have the most trust in? You need to pay attention to this because it's going to come into play this weekend against the Dodgers.
You have a circle of trust. Well, this is practically a dodecahedron of trust. We'll talk about it soon on the Score.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.